Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
So, praise Jesus. God has been giving me a couple things that I think will help people today. He's been giving me, you know, when God wants to talk to you, sometimes he'll show you something 3, 4, 5, 6 different ways until it dawns on you that he's showing you a pattern. And recently he's been showing me that one of the issues that some people are having in the body of Christ is they haven't learned how to master the emotional realm. And one of the problems we have today is our culture is based largely on what feels good rather than what is right. And that used not to be the case. If you think back, even if you've ever seen we're probably all too young to have been around at World War II. That would have been more my dad's generation. But if you even look at any old footage or old movies, back in that day, the men could not wait to sign up to go to war knowing that they would die. And the reason was that they were more interested in what they felt was right. Whether it was right or not is not the issue. What they felt was right took precedence over any fear of losing life or limb. But our culture really, I think from about the 60s, has taken a radical shift into what feels good is more important. And we have this idea in our culture, if it feels right, it is right, which couldn't be more wrong. So I would hold up before you the example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. If he had gone with what felt good, he would have never gone to the cross. He was sorrowful unto death. He was grieved. He was said he was sorrowful unto death because what it was facing. He asked God, could this cup pass from me? Is there any other way to do it, basically? Because his emotions, no one wants to be tortured, and he knew what was ahead. He understood crucifixion. He'd seen hundreds die by crucifixion. It was the normal way in Roman territories. A gruesome, terrible, torturous, long, agonizing death, and he knew it. And so he knew how hard it would be, and his emotions really didn't feel like it. And he went before the Father and said, is there any way this cup could pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, because he was paramount to him was the will of the Father, or what is right over what I feel like. But in our culture today, it is very common and almost considered normal and even considered right that if we feel like something, if our emotions want to do something, well, it must be right. If it feels good, do it. You know, if any kind of sin feels right, many people say, well, just, if, you know, it's become so normal. And so the reason I'm talking about this is because of this, a lot of believers have never really stopped to think about how your emotions might be ruling you and causing you to go the wrong direction when, in fact, that's not the way God is saying to go. And then what happens when we go the wrong direction is we usually have a consequence, don't we? We run into a wall, or we get stuck, or we feel like, why can't I seem to get past this? And the issue is really, without our knowing it, because a lot of people don't ponder this. A lot of people don't really think about it. You go through life, you handle each day, you handle what comes. And if you've never really looked intently into your soul, into emotions and how they operate, how your emotions are dealing with you, you might not be aware that your emotions are sometimes running the show. And emotions are very much like a little child that throws temper tantrums. If you see a little, let's say you have a 3 or 4 year old child and you love this child, it's not a bad child, it's just, it is a child. And let's say that the little child has a nightmare or sees the boogeyman or sees something scary move in this room at night. And how do you deal with that child? Well, the first thing you need to do is help them understand that they are protected, that you are with them. You don't have to tell them what they did or didn't see, because if they're a seer, they probably did see, right? Because seers see, even when they're little. But if they are afraid, you need them to know the truth, don't you? You need them to know you're okay, you're safe, you know, you're protected. Daddy's going to take care of you. Mommy's going to take care of you. Well, kind of that's how our emotions are. Our emotions are like a little kid ranting. And if we don't deal with them and begin to train them and help them understand how to feel, because believe me or not, this is the truth. Your emotions come in line with what you tell them to believe. And so it's very important that you learn how. It's a simple tactic, but I'm not asking you to do something today. I'm asking you to develop a regular method that becomes your default method. And if you do, you'll never have problems with your emotions running you. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm sad. Oh, I'm scared. This happened. I have to respond emotionally. Some people actually, you've heard me share this before, some of you, but I've actually seen pictures of people bowing down and worshiping their emotions as though that was God. You know, their emotions tell them how to feel, and they get up and their emotions demand that they feel sad. So they just, oh, I feel sad. Things are bad. You have to feel scared. Oh, I'm so scared. But here's the thing. Emotions really are your servant, not your master. This is how God created us. Now, emotions are not a bad thing. They are actually a gift from God. There's some good things about them that God gave us. It's not that we don't have them or don't feel them. There's some emotions. Emotions can be a very good thing. But they were never meant to master you. And they were never meant to tell you what's right and wrong, because emotions don't have a proper value system. They don't know right from wrong. In fact, your emotions are of the flesh. And you know what the Bible says about our flesh. It'll lead us down the wrong road and tell us it's okay, everything will be fine, all the time lying to us. And so we have to learn how to deal with this. Now, one of the things I want to share is that doctors, scientists believe, some people call it your subconscious, some people call it your unconscious. I'm not going to get into all that. But basically, let's just say that when you're not aware of it, you still respond in the way that your emotions have been trained to respond. And so when someone has what's called a knee-jerk reaction, and they don't even know why they're reacting that way, it's because somewhere in their life, probably over the course of their life, they were trained to respond in a certain way. So if you were beat up as a kid, and you were taught to different people are taught different things. I know one man who taught his sons to fight and win, you know, and that's not particularly right, but he taught them that, and so their first response would be, I'll get you before you get me, right? Another person, they might have been trained, their family ethic or their culture that they grew up in might have been, you know, avoid it, just hide, just run away and hide. And so what happens, your emotions are trained to do that, but you don't remember, you may not even remember that, because that might have been when you were 2 years old that you learned that. Remember, when you're 1 and 2, your foundations are being formed, but most people, in fact, I would say almost all people, don't have a real memory of anything before 3 or 4 years old, maybe some people even 5. So you can't remember what you were trained to do. And even good parents I had great parents, but there were some things they taught that God told me later, maybe I needed to make an adjustment, okay? So a person who was raised in a home, let's give you an example. Some homes, they don't know how to communicate except with rage. You know, you get 2 people that are stuffers. They stuff their emotions. They were taught, don't express it, don't say it, don't do anything. And what happens is they'll hold it until they get to a boiling point and then explode, right? And then the other person starts to react. And because that's the only way they ever saw their parents communicate, that becomes to them normal communication, okay? So God wants to retrain us according to his kingdom. His kingdom, he has laid out great principles for how we can interact with one another, how we can deal with one another. And I'll be very honest, it took me years to learn how to express things to people in a straightforward way because I was, to be honest, I was non-confrontational. I didn't like confrontation. I didn't want to say it like it was. I'd rather run away. It's still not my favorite thing, but God had to teach me how to do it, how to kindly speak the truth in love, but speak the truth and not run away like a big chicken, but speak it in a way that didn't condemn the person or make them feel I was angry. But let's be honest, sometimes we have issues with people. And we might be right and we might be wrong, but how will we ever know unless we can talk to that person in a straightforward way? Well, God, it took years for God to get that through my head because I had fear because I was shy, because I'd been raised up to be afraid of people. I was afraid of people. I was afraid of confrontation, and which is ridiculous, really. Jesus was very confrontational, but never in an ungodly way. He was perfect in every way. But he said it exactly like it was and without apology. And so Jesus is our model of how we're supposed to do life. And so the reason this is important is your mind, and I'm not talking as much about your conscious mind, but let's say you have a dream, let's say you have a vision, or let's say you get a picture that's even from your own imagination. Let's say if you're fearful, I'm just going to give you lots of examples. You could be a fearful person. I know what fearful people do is they will imagine the worst. They don't just think, oh, what if? They actually, it will actually play out. The scenario will play out. What if that happens? What if I get beat up? What if my spouse is cheating on me? And they begin to play it out in their mind. Well, here's something interesting that the doctors say, that the scientists say. Your mind cannot tell the difference in your memory between an imagination that you kind of conjured up as opposed to something that actually happened. So what that means is you can talk yourself into PTSD and never having had the experience. If you are a fearful person that imagines the worst, you actually bring yourself into a state of stress because your mind can't tell that that stuff didn't actually already happen to you. Now let's take it the other way. You've probably heard me talk about this, but people who are people who are noted for remarkable miracles, if you listen to them closely, and I could name names, I'm not going to, but I could name three or four names of people who've had remarkable miracles, and their story is that they would imagine themselves being used of God to do great miracles, including raise the dead or see blind eyes open. And one man, he spent 6 months laying in bed and imagining that at his meetings, people were being healed of deafness. And pretty soon they started being healed of deafness. And you know why? Your emotions can't tell the difference between an imagination and reality. So if you give it evil imaginations, what is happening is you are feeding the food of faith to your brain to believe for that bad thing to happen. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he or so does he become. But if you are feeding imaginations to your brain that are holy, that are godly, right? Think on these things, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of a good report, think on these things, think on them, imagine them, picture them. Well, what you're doing is you're retraining your emotions. So imagine again the little child who is afraid. And what you're going to do, if you love that little kid, let's say you've got a little kid who's 3 years old and he saw something scary, you're not going to spank him, are you? No, of course not. You're going to pick him up. You're going to cuddle him. You're going to put him on your lap. And you're going to say, honey, I'm never going to let anything happen to you. And what you're doing is you're speaking the truth to the little child. You're going to try to reform his little mind to understand, yes, there might be scary things out there, but kind of I've got your back or I'm protecting you. Well, how do you do that with your emotions? Because your emotions, if you don't deal with them early, like they're like a weed, you know, or a plant. And they start small, but if you don't deal with them, they can become an overwhelming, overbearing, overpowering entity that takes you and throws you to the ground and tells you how to behave. And then you run to somebody and say, I need deliverance. And it's true, you probably do. But emotions can wrestle you to the ground and own you, and you don't ever, ever want that. Emotions were designed by God to help us serve God, right? But how you train them, emotions are not evil and they are not necessarily good. They're like a sword that can be used for good or bad. They're like words. Words can be used for good or bad. Money isn't inherently evil, but so you can use money for good. You can use money to help Daniel Kalenda go win souls, or you can use money to help Pacific Garden Mission feed the poor. Or you can use money to buy drugs or provide for prostitution. That you can, money in itself is neither here nor there. It's what, how you do it. Well, your emotions are somewhat the same way. If you don't deal with them, though, by default, because we tend, our flesh nature is carnal, and if you don't deal with your emotions, you'll find them ruling you, telling you what to do and how to do it and when to do it, and you'll wonder, why am I fearful? Why am I angry? Why am I responding? Why did I act so crabby? Why was I down? What, you know? And if you don't understand the concept behind how emotions work, they will rule you. And just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, we will be confronted many times, really probably every day, although on a much smaller scale. We're always confronted with doing the right thing or doing what feels good. You know, should I eat that brownie? No, but I want to. No, it's an ongoing thing. It's not always about sin, but there's, you know, sometimes, just as it's said, a good thing can be the enemy of a better thing, which can be the enemy of the best thing. So we have to learn how to deal with these issues. So one of the things, and the reason that I talk about this is a lot, this was such an issue for me. My life was almost ruined because I had run away emotions as a believer, as a Christian. And by the way, as a pretty strong Christian, I knew the Holy Spirit. I was pretty strong in the power of the Lord, and yet I did not understand that I was being ruled by my own emotions. And because I was, Satan was getting a hook in there, and a hook, you know, is like a stronghold. He was getting a stronghold hooked to my emotions, and so because of it, I started to have emotional strongholds of depression, of self-pity, sadness, suicide thoughts. Because listen, Satan never gets enough. You can never feed him enough. It's just like a drug addiction. What gave you the high yesterday won't be enough today. You know, all addictive things have that tendency. So I'm just saying this to somebody. There are some issues that the only way to solve them is to shut the door completely. I'm going to say it again. There are some, not just substance abuses, but porn is this way. I'm just going to say it. Sometimes internet gaming for some people can be such an addiction that they have lost the ability to live their life. There's people who are addicted to Facebook, and it's ruling them. And they're like, yeah, I should do that. Well, tomorrow I'll deal with it. Tomorrow. And see, here's the thing. We have to serve God today. And there, you'll find, at least for me, I found that there's some things that I was able to just, boom, get free of, you know, that's it, no more, done, so totally delivered. But I've seen that there are some things, and not for everybody, everyone's different, but you need to know your soul, you need to know your heart. You know, the Bible says we need to know how to possess our vessel in honor. I need to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. We need to know how. So for some people, you know, the Bible says all things are lawful for me, but not all things are edifying for me. So a person who, let's say a person, I don't drink, I never have, I can't stand the taste of it, but some people say, well, you know, I just have wine with my dinner. I neither condemn it nor endorse it. I don't know and I don't care. I know for me it would be lawful, but it's not edifying. I don't like it, so it's not an issue. But I also have met people that don't have the ability for whatever reason. I don't know if it's a physical thing. I don't know what it's about. But I've seen that there are some people that simply cannot just have one. They may say they can, but the fact is they can't. And if you see that that's an issue, you have to shut the door and have zero. Just have zero. Just resolve it. I'm having zero. How much porn? Zero. 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 I knew a guy that was addicted to porn. He would say, well, you know, it doesn't bother me. Yeah, it does. Because you're filing it in your subconscious. And if you don't deal with that thing like a weed, if you don't get that thing pulled out, that thing will eventually grow and grow and grow. And I've seen it. I've actually seen it. It's heartbreaking to watch, but it can take a person over until they cannot think of other things. And it begins to own them. And at some point, we lose them. I've seen it. We lose the person to a stronghold. So there are some strongholds. You have to shut the door completely. Zero is what will be good for you. So that was not on my list of things to talk about. Hallelujah. But God wants us free, and he wants us strong in this day. Because if you're not aware of it, you know, years ago people would say they were in a battle or they were under attack. I don't think most of us have ever seen real battle, but I think we're about to. I think we're in days where we need to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. We need to know how to win. And listen, if you fancy yourself a great warrior in the spirit, that's a pride thing. I can't stand people like, oh, you know, they put on all their little armor and make all their little pictures and, you know, lions and swords. But the fact is, most people don't know squat about how to win in the spirit. I'm sorry, that was kind of blunt, wasn't it? But that is the truth. And I'm telling you, we're entering a day where we need to know how to win. And we need to know how to win externally in the realm of the spirit, meaning things that are outside of our life. We also need to know how to win in our own vessel, okay? If you can win, if you can know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor, then you have a really good shot at winning a war, okay? But if you fancy yourself a great warrior taking over demons, but you have strongholds yourself, you will forever be fighting battles that you don't need to be fighting. Listen, the freer you get, the easier life is, because there's so little for him to hold on to. And this is a day where God is calling the church to a great deal of repentance. You know, Edgar used to, you know, get up front and say, repent. And I'd think, of what? Tell me, you know, I love repentance, but of what? Like, what am I doing wrong? Because it wasn't clear to me. But as we seek the Lord, what we'll find is it's not the big stuff. Well, if you have big stuff, deal with your big stuff, okay? But let's say you've been saved a while and you've worked through the big things, you know, the big, woo, you know, you're not in adultery, you're not in fornication, you're not looking at dirty stuff, you're not, you know, you've worked through all the big stuff, okay? Yay. Don't be deluded into thinking that means you're pure. And now, okay, now I have to go back and say this. You've heard me say your born-again spirit is pure, and that does not get diluted. That does not get tainted, okay? But in your vessel, your flesh, you have to deal with this world, and you have to deal with the devil. It's a fact. And that's going to be a fact until you step over, okay? And I'm one of those people, I like to win. I like to win. I like to win, and I like to win every time. And so for me, this has taken some intent looking into how things work, okay? How do things work on the inside? How does your brain work? When you fail, you know, when you fail, don't bother with condemnation. Don't bother. Don't waste your time on guilt. That is so not fruitful. In fact, it is unfruitful. It is proactively unfruitful. It will bring you down and cause you to lose days and weeks and sometimes years. Don't bother with that. Don't waste your time on that. Yes, you immediately repent, confess your sin, but begin to look at what is going on here. What is it that I need to deal with? What is it that causes me to have a hook in that area when my brother or my sister doesn't have a hook in that area? What's going on there really? I know this sounds strange to some people, but I'm going to tell you the way that we possess our vessel in sanctification and honor will determine the victory that we walk in externally. Now, you know there's trouble in this country, and you know that I'm going to be honest, there's more trouble coming. And what I really believe God is saying is that we as the church, we get to determine how this plays out. Not just through prayer, though. Repentance is a big part of it, and dealing with ourselves in areas that we haven't dealt with it. For too long, we've said, well, that's a little thing. You know, God forgives me my sin, so I can just go, it's just a little thing. But it is the little foxes that spoil the vine, the Bible says. It's the little stuff that nails you. You know, sometimes we've seen that a person that has continual poverty, continual lack, continual failure in that area, sometimes we find in them that there's, and I'm not saying this in any judgment, believe me, I've had more baggage than all y'all put together, okay? And I can say it honestly. I'm by no means ever pointing a finger. But I am a troubleshooter in the spirit. You know, I was a troubleshooter in the natural in my job, and now I am one in the spirit. And why is that good? if your car is broken, you don't just pull it over, sit by the roadside and cry. No, you try to figure out what it is. And if you don't know how to do that, you call someone that knows how. And the first thing they're going to do is start looking at the different systems in that car. Well, it goes bump, bump, and then it dies, and I'm stranded. Well, okay, a guy that knows what he's doing is probably going to open the hood, and he's going to start, well, what did it sound like? He's troubleshooting. He's looking for what is causing the problem. I'm going to tell you something. There is a reason that things happen the way they do. There is a reason why we struggle with some of the things we struggle with. There is a reason some of us are tempted to one thing and others are not, but others might be tempted to that other thing over there and we are not. There's a reason. What is it? There's a hook. There's something going on the inside. We need to take a good look. Look intently and do it with the Holy Spirit. He's the candle of the Lord, right? The candle of the Lord searches the inner part of a man. The candle of the Lord. You know, sometimes we'll be praying and you'll just say, oh, I all of a sudden it comes to light. Oh my gosh, I've been doing this and this is offensive to the Lord. Listen, that's one of the best things that can ever happen to you. When you realize an area where you maybe didn't realize that what you were doing was offensive to the Lord. Sometimes we have a little tendency, a little thought, a little habit, not realizing that it's offensive to Jesus. Well, what happens? You know, it's not that Jesus gets mad. He loves you. He loves you. He's never going to stop loving you. He loves you. However, if we have sin that we don't know is sin in our thoughts or our heart or our attitudes or our being critical, hallelujah, especially of each other. Listen, do you know that when you're critical and judgmental or you're quick to anger about somebody else's stuff, especially in the body, we have to be really careful because we're actually now talking about Jesus. So not that I've perfected this. I have not perfected it, but I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to learn that when somebody bugs me, get it dealt with in my soul. And if I need to go talk to them, go talk to them and try to work it through. And if it's just an issue that I have, then I'm not going to talk to them if it might be my issue, right? And usually it's probably my issue. But what I'm saying is we can't just say, justify it. Oh, it's okay. You know, Jesus has forgiven me. Let's just wash that over. You know what? You can do that when you're young in the Lord. But as we start to move in some stuff, you know, I used to sit under a prophetic ministry and she would say, "Be sure in this day your sin will find you out." You know, but it's true. In this day, we cannot continue to cover over things lightly as though it's not important. You know, the way that the body of Christ treats each other right now is a big, big deal. And Satan is trying to bring division through politics and race. And I'm going to tell you, that's the real enemy. That is a devil from hell trying to bring division. And the Lord absolutely hates if we sow discord among the brethren. I didn't think we were going here, but we're here. And if we have an attitude, we have to be really careful, because with all this junk that's being spewed on the television and on social media, it is easy to get caught up in the emotion of it. But let me tell you, sin is not far behind. Sin is not far behind political reaction. Sin is not far behind anger at the way things are. Sin is not far. We have to be really careful. And let me tell you something. In heaven, there is no color and there is all colors. It'll be every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And we will be worshiping together. So we need to not lump people into categories. There's only two categories, saved and unsaved, who were trying to get saved, right? I recently read a thing that a bunch of Satanists are planning to do a big thing. And you know what? If I went after that foul demon, right, and let that make me anger and, oh, get them, God, you know, somebody said, oh, take a baseball bat, you know, no, Jesus said, bless those who curse you, bless and do not curse. Now, how do you do that when it comes to a Satanist? Well, I'll tell you exactly. I'm going to teach you. It took me forever to learn this, but it's a big deal. It's important. When you meet somebody that you think is in the occult or even is a flat-out Satanist, and maybe you even think they're praying against you, let me tell you how to pray. And this, you'll win your war this way. You'll win. Hear me? The first thing you do is ask the Lord to separate them from their demons. And you begin to pray for that person. You say, Lord, I bless them. Bless them, Lord, with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let them hear the truth preached by the power of the Spirit many times. Give them the opportunity to know the truth and to make good choices. Father, whether they make them or not, at least give them the opportunity to hear it by the power of the Spirit. Bless them, Lord. And then, Lord, I ask you to take those demons and bring them before the judgment seat of God. And Lord, I ask you to deal with them, either contain them permanently, send them to the abyss, or you decide what's best with them. But Father, I ask you to set at liberty those that are brought. Because remember that those people are just ignorant. They're just ignorant. That's all they are. They're ignorant. And when you bless your enemy and do not curse, you know, your emotions are, what? You know, what are you talking about? Well, what happens is you are actually going higher into heaven. You ascend more into heaven with the purer your heart goes. Some people say, well, I can't go to heaven. You know, you really can by faith. But let me tell you something. When you start to work on purifying your heart, not just your outward behavior. You know, Jesus said the most interesting thing. He said, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her in his heart, he has committed adultery with her. Now, Jesus was not picking on the men. What he was saying, he was just giving an example of how sin works for men and women and all kinds of sin. To do it in your heart is to do it. To do it in your heart is actually, according to him, to have done it. Past tense. So we have to begin to purify the way our heart thinks and processes and deals with tough stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. If there's somebody that bugs you and their behavior bothers you, let me just tell you something. It isn't them God trying to fix. God's trying to say to you, you have an issue. Hallelujah. Holly. Because if you're continually piqued or bugged by somebody, their issue bugs you, the way they do things, the way they see things, the way they express things, and that bugs you, it's not them that God is dealing with. It's you. And I know this from looking in the mirror because God has dealt with me so much that if somebody bugs me, listen, you think about this. Think of the most annoying person you know. Well, wait, don't. But if you think of somebody that just, you just almost, ooh, I just, hallelujah, I just really have a hard time getting around that person. Then you think this. God loves them. They're the apple of his eye. He loves them like he loves you. And I just say, God, how is that possible? How do you love people that are just, you know, turkeys? How do you, you got to understand the love of God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be a heavenly person, a person that ascends and is able to go to the throne room and hang out with God, listen, we talk about it a lot, but let me tell you something. We need to change. We need to change. And it's a bit of a paradox because the more time you spend in the Spirit, the more time you spend hanging out with God, the more time you spend in His Word and in His presence, the more able you will be able to love people. But let me tell you this. It's hard to ascend when you have something in your heart that isn't right. It's hard to ascend when you have a critical spirit or a judgmental spirit or you just flat don't like people. You need to deal with that stuff and don't let it own you. And it's really, I'm not sharing this except that God has used this kind of talk with me to help me to get free and to win every battle. The battles are won on the inside. In fact, a lot of what people call battle isn't even a real battle. A lot of people say, I'm under attack and there's no demon for 40 miles. But they have an issue that they haven't dealt with. Okay? A lot of times people call warfare something that isn't even warfare. It's garbage in their head that has not been properly dealt with by the Word of God. Hallelujah. So I keep trying to go back to this thing with a three-year-old kid who's scared, and it's a parallel with your emotions. When your emotions react in a way that's ungodly, and you know it, generally you know it right away if you're paying attention at all, right? If you're at all a servant of God, you're aware when you've you're having a reaction, it's not godly, and you know you need to deal with it. And you say, how? Well, one of the first things you do is respond with the Word of God or a proclamation. And at first, this will be new to you. But for me, when God taught it to me was so many years ago, and it was foreign to the way that I did things. You know, because when you've been bound by your emotions and circumstances, and you're reacting out of your strongholds, right? If you have a stronghold of depression, I'll describe someone to you that was a dear, dear, dear friend of mine, someone I loved very, very much to know with the Lord. And this person had many bad things happen to him, really seriously bad. It was like a long history of painful and difficult circumstances in life. So painful that they actually began to feel that nothing good would ever be able to happen for them. And they had reason to feel bummed. I mean, they really had reason. Lots of terrible, terrible stuff. Terrible. Major, significant bad things happened to them all in a row. But they began to take on, because of it, a stronghold of actually feeling like it was never going to get any better, and that every time they got a little breakthrough, something would come along to crush it. And they began to speak that way and think that way, feel that way. And so it was almost like a self-fulfilling thing, because as you begin to meditate, and I used to be that way myself, I used to think in very negative ways. And so when, if I'm talking to somebody that, and you have that issue, it will take you some time to reformat and reimage and recreate the way you think. So it's not a push button thing. You have to retrain the way you respond, okay? And how you do that is with your words, just like with a three-year-old kid. With a three-year-old kid who's frightened, you speak to them and you tell them everything's going to be okay. Well, God's version of that. And I just did that as an example to so you kind of see this, but your emotions are very much, they're not mature. Emotions, no one's emotions are have the capability of logic. They're not a logical being. And all of us have emotions. And a lot of people who say that they're free, really what they've done is stuff their emotions, which is not the same thing, and it's not healthy. Okay? To truly, Jesus is our example of a perfect man. And he perfectly mastered his emotions. He had them. He had emotions. We can read of a number of places where it talks about his emotion. He had joy above all his fellows, it said. Right? He had love above anyone. He had he was sorrowful to death. He was acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53 says. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He had emotions. But he never let them rule him. And as far as I can tell, he didn't pretend they didn't exist. That's not the same thing as I'm talking about. You know, I used to be the queen of just pretend it isn't there. You know, just stuff it. Just stuff it down in there. Don't deal with that. Well, that's not healthy. And that's not God's way. But Jesus dealt with it, okay? So what we do is speak the truth, just as if some of you know how to talk to a demon. If a demon comes and confronts you with a lie, most of you know, you would hold up the scriptures and say, no, it is written. Absolutely not, it is written. Because what? The word of God, it's the sword of the spirit, is the word of God. It's the offensive weapon. It's the way to destroy any devil. The word of God is the sword of the spirit. It's the way to defeat the enemy. All the other stuff is defensive, right? It's a defensive, you know, the shield of faith is defensive, right? But the sword of the spirit is an offensive weapon, and no demon can stand against it. Well, when that happens, you control the devil, right? So remember Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus owned that situation. He owned it. The devil tried to come in and own Jesus. He tried to get him to question his calling. Well, if you were really the Son of God, you know, really? Are you really? Are you really it? Because that must have been preposterous to believe, you know, because Jesus had to do that by faith. Some of you are having to have faith to believe that you're really called to do something. And it takes faith, because the enemy will, if you're called to do something, the enemy will press on you every way he can to get you to say, well, maybe I'm not called. Maybe it's not really me. Maybe it's never going to happen. I guess I misunderstood. Maybe I blew it too bad. What do you think that is? That's the devil trying to stop you, trying to talk you out of your calling. And it's all a lie. And so he tries to come in and own that situation, right? It's all a farce. So what do? We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And what did Jesus do? It is written. It is written. Everything Satan came up with to try to turn the tables, Jesus would own that situation with a scripture. He didn't argue. He didn't debate. He said a scripture. Boom. So that is exactly how you deal with your emotions. Your emotions are not demonic. As I said early on, in case you have signed in late, emotions are a gift from God, but they're not mature in and of themselves. You have to tell them how to feel. You have to train them how to feel. You have to train them. That's why God wants us to praise and worship and rejoice. Because when we do, first of all, it honors him. He's holy and he's worthy of praise. But when we praise, our emotions realize there's something to be thankful for. Tons of things to be thankful for. When you just spend your time, just next time you take a car ride and you've got to go, you know, 30 minutes or 60 minutes, just say, I'm going to thank God all the way there. I'm just going to thank him for everything I can think of. Thank you for the grass. Thank you for the fresh air. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for trees. Thank you that I was able to pay my bills. Thank you, whatever. You just think of anything. You just thank him, and you will watch. You watch what happens to your emotions. By the time you get there, you're feeling elated. You're feeling joyful. You're feeling like, oh, you just want to burst. Why? Because you have spoken the truth, and your emotions, they're just like a dehydrated plant that has had water, and they go, oh, really? Yeah, hey, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I do have a lot to be thankful for. And they begin to rise up. So you need to tell your emotions how to feel. And I have found, you know, when the Lord first started teaching me this, I'll be honest, it took me some years to get it, but hopefully it will come faster for you. But what began to happen is it began to be my normal systemic response to anything that was threatening or looked bad or appeared bad or was bad. My immediate response, I may not always have a scripture, but I can always say, that will never happen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, no, I won't. By his stripes I am healed. I'll think of some way to counter it. I may not get the words exactly right, but immediately I will counter the threat of the devil, whether it's a picture, whether it's a dream, whether it's an imagination, whether it's somebody coming and saying something. Do you ever have somebody say something and there's like a devil under the covers, if you know what I mean? They say it. In itself, in the flesh, it might have been an innocent statement, but underneath there's demonic power, and it actually tries to jump on you with fear or anger or whatever. Well, immediately. And if you may be in public, you can't always say, like if you're at work, you can't always just blurt stuff out in the middle of a meeting. But you can quietly say it under your breath, and your emotions will still hear you, and your emotions will listen to you and what you say more than other people. So begin to speak immediately. If God gives you, for example, sometimes God will give me warning dreams. Sometimes I don't always like those warning dreams, because a warning dream looks like a terrible thing is going to happen. But you know what he's saying to me? Holly, there's a situation and you need to pray. And so immediately I start to confess the truth, right? Not that the dream is going to happen. It's not what's going to happen. It's what's going to happen if I don't pray. And so immediately I realize now, after all these years, finally, I realize we've been given authority to rule and reign in the earth. And we determine so much of what happens. And the reason so much junk has happened is because we have been asleep for too long. And God is waking us up. God is poking the bride. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Your alarm has been going off and it's getting louder. You know, you have a phone, your alarm goes off, and if you don't deal with it, it gets a little louder. You know, dealing is a little louder. Well, guess what? It's ringing really loud right now for the body of Christ. And not everybody's getting up, but God is speaking, get up, get up, get up. Right now is the time. You're just in time. If you do it now, if you put this off, I'm telling you, you're going to miss out. I'm telling you, if you don't deal with things now, things are going to take a turn that you don't want to see and I don't want to see. And we don't have a whole lot of time to deal with this. You know, I keep saying this, but maybe there's somebody to hear me say it. Maybe I need to remind it. If ever there was a time in your life to learn to pray, it's now. If ever there was a time in your life to take serious speaking the word of God, if ever there was a time to learn to take your authority and master the situations in your life, it's now. because you can't master the enemy in public, meaning in the political arena or at a national level, at a state level, if you haven't learned to master him in your house, and I don't mean your physical house, I mean your body, your mind, your emotions, your will. You master him there first, and you'll learn how. That is where you learn. That's the training ground. When Jesus said, occupy till I come, y'all know that's a military term. It meant take over. Take over and rule. That's what it means militarily. What is the first ground you have to learn to take? Your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, and your will. Amen? That's the ground we have to take. And if you learn how to take that, it won't be so hard when devils come a-calling. It won't be hard to pull down principalities, powers. Not hard at all, because you've learned and you've trained and you've been proven. You know what it is for armor to be proven? It has to be tested. It has to be tried. And some of us need to learn quickly how to win in the realm of the spirit. But you, I'll just be honest, I don't think you can win very well in the realm of the spirit if you haven't learned how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.